Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to open up Luke chapter 11 today. Father, I just come before you, and I just ask you to do something special today, Lord. This is your word. This is one of the most important things, God, you want us to know about you. This is such an important thing that we could learn to begin to practice in a deeper and a greater way, Lord, to know you as Father. God, I just pray that everyone in here today would take something away, something they could practice, something they could learn, that you would touch hearts, you would draw people closer to themselves so that out of this group of 300, 500 people, there would be thousands and thousands of more prayers to you this week. And I just pray you would inspire our hearts, God, to know you better and deeper, more personally, Lord. Pray for myself that you would remove anything in my mind and heart that's going to prevent that. And you just do what only you can do, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask you to do these things to make your name famous. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's interesting about my daughter is that when we lived in a country, this was about 3 years ago, we were living in another country and my daughter really wanted a kitten. Okay? She wanted a kitten so bad. And as bad as she wanted the kitten, I didn't want the kitten with the same strength, right? I didn't want a cat in my house. I'm actually allergic to cats. And so I had this, what I thought at the time was a brilliant idea. I said, oh, honey, I don't even know where we can find a cat around here. So I'll make a deal with you, I told her. You pray to God. And if God decides to give you a kitten, then I'll let you keep it. And I thought, I got her here, right? She began to pray. Every time we would share our prayer time as a family or be together, she began to say, God, give me a kitten. God, give me a kitten. Please, God, give me a kitten. Give me a kitten. For 2 weeks, every time she spoke to God, it was about a kitten. And you know what happened? We hadn't even seen a kitten. And one day we're out in our neighborhood walking around. One of the neighbors sees us, and it's me and my wife, and at this time Sophia, we're all walking together. She comes out of the house. And she says, excuse me, I just have a question for you. Would you be interested in a kitten? And I'm telling you, my mouth just, I'm just in amazement. She said, I just saw you walking and I just couldn't help. I wanted to ask you the question. And you know what happened to me? Besides this stinging sense of shame that the pastor missionary father had less faith that God would answer her than I did. But what stuck with me in this is God cares about the tiniest people and the tiniest things. And he goes out of his way in 2 weeks to give her a kitten. And if he doesn't on such tiny things, what will he do when we ask him about the things that are deepest and most important to us and to his heart? We've got to learn to pray like children. There's something in what they do and how they think. And today in this passage in Luke 11, we see, I believe we see three ways, and I'm going to show you where we're going today. We learn to pray like children, okay? They're not complicated. Number one, to pray like a child, you have to see God as your Father. Number two, to pray like a child, you have to be persistent. And number three, to pray like a child, you have to be confident in your Father. So let's open up Luke 11. We're going to begin in the first four verses looking at this one, to pray like a child. So here we go. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us this day, each day, our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who's indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. I want you to think with me just a second about the prayers you may know in the Bible. If you think about certain prayers, let's take for example this one. It's famous. It begins with this idea of calling God Father. So important. In the Bible, there are a list of prayers. When the apostles are threatened by the leadership, the religious leaders of the time, they're told, you can't preach anymore in the name of Jesus. They go back and it says, it records a little prayer in the book of Acts, and it says they begin the prayer, Sovereign God. You see, when they're persecuted, when they're told you can't do this, when they feel like everything's out of control, what they need to see in God most is that God is a sovereign God. He's in control. So they begin their prayer with the right mentality. Do you understand? How do we learn to pray like a child? Well, we begin with studying the prayer of His Son. And we begin by the way Jesus decides to focus the prayer. Pay attention to what I'm saying right now. He could have begun this by saying, Lord. There's nothing wrong with saying that in a prayer. The Bible says it in different prayers. He could have began by saying, as the Jews did in his time, O judge of all the earth, Holy One of Israel. He could have just as easily said Yahweh, which was a super common name for the Jews in the time, right? But he doesn't say that. You see, when his disciples ask him, teach us to pray like you pray, the answer in Jesus' mind is, the mentality I come to prayer with is Father. It's Father. And so as you begin to think about prayer, this is the thought I want to move in. How do we keep, as I said in our thing, to pray like a child? You've got to see God as your Father. If you go to YouTube today, and I don't know how you guys are, but if something breaks in my house, I can just about go to YouTube and find a video that'll tell you how to fix anything. One time I fixed a dryer in my house by watching a video that said how to reset an unresettable thermostat in your dryer. So I pulled it out, and the video said, just slam it on the ground really hard. It's a true story. And so I just threw it down. About the fifth time I threw it down, I put it back in the dryer. And know what happened? Starts working again. And so the disciples, they come to Jesus with this how-to mentality. They've just seen him come out of prayer, and they're thinking, how do I do what he does? But he doesn't begin by saying, you get on your knees, you fold your hands, you learn to speak the King James language really well with thee and thou and all these things. He doesn't say any of those outward, external things. He begins in the place we have to begin, which is a mentality. It's a mindset. It's seeing God as our Father. He doesn't say, speak really loud because God can't hear you in heaven. If you speak inside your mind or you scream at the top of your lungs, God hears you in the same way. He doesn't say to them, say whatever you want and just end it with, in Jesus' name. He doesn't say that. That's actually another part of the Bible, but he's not talking about that here. His way of teaching his disciples prayer is to focus on Father. We're not going to cover each piece of this prayer because I want to think in deep, but I want to just share with you one of the, what I would consider greatest mistakes Christian makes in this area. You see, praying to God as Father, we've got to understand the difference between business relationships and family relationships. Did you just hear what I said? Between a business relationship and a family relationship. If I go to a car dealership and I walk up to the car salesman and I say, sir, I like that BMW over there. Would you give it to me for free, please? He's going to look at me and think I'm crazy or I'm making a joke because we understand each other. This is not a family relationship. This is a business relationship. And so as I come to him and I begin to say to him, oh, you know, I really would like it and this and that, he's going to say, well, it costs this amount. So you see, with a business relationship, it's an exchange. You give me something, and I give you something. And many Christians carry the business mentality into their relationship with God. And they begin to say things like, well, if I come to church on Sunday morning, if I give an offering, if I'm really good and I don't do that thing I feel bad about when I do it, and they begin to think of all the business things they can offer to God. And when they've done all those things and they feel good about themselves, then they ask for something. And it's a business relationship. Somehow, we believe the song, just as I am without one plea. And we sing about coming to God with all of our messiness. We understand that with salvation, you can't fix yourself and then get saved. But somehow in prayer, we try to do that. We try to fix ourselves and then pray. We try to do a bunch of good things, and when I've done a bunch of good, then I'll go ask for something. But Jesus begins with this approach to prayer of Father. I don't know about you, but my daughter and my sons, they don't think before they ask me anything. They just, from the time they were little, they're just tugging on the pant legs, just, I want this, I want that, help me with this, do that, play with me, go with me. They just, they're all the time, every breath is a prayer to my children. And as they come asking their Father, that's what God wants from us. Do you understand? That's what Jesus is trying to teach. See, you can see prayer in a couple of ways. You can see it as a business relationship. But one of the other mistakes people make is that they come to prayer and they think, unless I pray for an hour, I didn't pray. Right? You fell into this one too if you're a Christian. Unless I pray for 10 minutes or 20 minutes, I didn't pray. But let me encourage you something. What's more a more easy thing to do, to spend €1 million or to spend 1 euro? Think of your prayers in that way. Stop saying only these 10, 20 minute and 30. Those are good. I don't want to keep you. But begin to say 1 euro prayers. Help me, Lord. Give me words to say. Teach me about you. Begin to realize your Father's listening all the time. And if you want to get to know God, you've got to start saying this. It's not a business. It's a family loving relationship. And as you see this example of prayer from Jesus, we're impressed to copy his words literally, aren't we? We want to repeat the Lord's Prayer, but that wasn't the intention of it. He's teaching us phrases and things to bring to God. I'd love to speak about all those today, but I want to cover this idea of praying to God as Father in detail. So the first thing we have to do is see God as Father. So it's not a business relationship. It's not thinking about praying for hours before I'm able to talk to him. It's not about being good enough. It's about coming just as I am and praying. Let me encourage you to do that. The second thing we see in the passage is coming from verses 5 through 10. And it says that not only do we this, but we have to, let me read it. To pray like a child, you have to be persistent. Now, this is a parable that Jesus gives in the middle of his teaching on prayer. Look at what he says here. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are in bed with me, I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his impotence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Those are powerful words here. So to pray like a child, you have to be persistent. Like I told you about my daughter, You never seen anybody ask for a kitten with the power she asked for that kitten. But it was persistence. If you want to understand this parable, the story goes like this. A guy shows up at midnight at one man's house, and he has no food. So he goes next door to the neighbor, and he knocks on the door at midnight. Now, midnight was really late back then, right? You can imagine that. This wasn't Spain in 2018. Midnight was really late because the sun had went down. There's no light bulbs anywhere. People were asleep. But to really understand this story of Jesus, you have to understand the context of the story, okay? That means the history, the culture. Many of you come from cultures today that hospitality is a really important thing. Many of us don't. In my country, if you knock on the door at midnight, you might see a gun get pulled out of the door, right? But in their culture, I'm serious, and I'm not joking. In this culture, guests were so important that if you didn't take care of a guest, you were about as bad as any person could be. Hospitality was the way to know whether you were a good or a bad person. Can you imagine that? There was a saying when I lived in India, guest is God. And what it means is we treat you like royalty when you come. Hospitality was huge. And they got this parable. You see, here's what the parable does. When you read it from a Western point of view, you're going, why is a guy knocking on the other guy's door at midnight? But when you read it from Jesus' perspective, what you begin to say is, what kind of bad neighbor? He knows he has a guest. Why isn't he helping him? So it's not the guy who's knocking that's the strange one. It's the guy who's answering that's the strange one. You see, in his culture, you should have answered the door. You should have given bread. You're a bad neighbor. And so what is Jesus teaching here? Listen to what I'm about to tell you. He's saying, if you can convince the bad guy to open the door by just being persistent, how much more could you convince your loving heavenly Father to open the door by being persistent? Do you understand? If bad people answer when you knock, what happens with the good Father when you knock? And so the power of the persistence is in the person you're being persistent with. And that's why he says, if you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be open. If you ask, it will be given to you. It's interesting that persistence in prayer has two effects. You say, well, why doesn't God just answer? Why, when people ask, doesn't he just answer? Well, I don't know if you've seen this movie, and I'm not necessarily recommending it, but there's a movie called Bruce Almighty. And in the movie, God says to him, okay, you think you could do a better job? Be God for a time. So he gets, instead of prayer requests, he gets emails. And his emails, you know, it's like, I don't know, 2-3 million emails. And he just decides he's going to say yes to every prayer request. So he pushes yes. But all of a sudden, it's like total chaos. Somebody's praying for rain, somebody's praying for it to be dry, somebody's praying for it to be a good day, somebody's saying, I want to be changed. And it just causes total chaos in the movie. See, God, for one reason he can't say yes to everything is because he's working his plan in the world out through everything. That's obvious. But there's another reason he can't say yes to everything. You see, one of the purposes of prayer is not to change things, it's to change you. You understand? Persistence in prayer, and tell me if you haven't experienced this if you're a Christian. When you ask for something again and again, Lord, Lord, help me. Lord, help my spouse. Help my child. You know what you become? You become a better spouse, and you become a better parent. Isn't that amazing how it works? And so God says, I'm not going to answer you right now because it'll actually keep you from growing. But I encourage you to keep knocking. Because he's a good father. Go to the Lord. Go to your father. Tug on his pant legs. Ask. And don't hesitate to ask again and ask again. He wants you to do that. Do you understand? He wants you to do that. That's the kind of father you and I have. In the end, he gives probably one of the most famous quotes about prayer in the Bible. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. You know, when I worked in one country that I lived in, there was this lady. She had been visited by missionaries. They had given a Bible to her. And listen to me. She prayed when she was given the Bible, "God, please show me who you are." She started reading the Bible. I'm going to tell you a long story. I won't tell it. It's a long story. But she decided to put it down. 20 years later, I came to her. We began to... She hadn't really known anything again after those 20 years later. And about the third week we were studying the Bible together, you know what she said? "I prayed 20 years ago to know God, and it's only now that He answered my prayer." Can you imagine? With tears in her eyes. It took Him 20 years to answer me, but I got the answer. I mean, how many are you in that place today? I know you. You're praying for somebody, aren't you? Something, and you're thinking, it's been 5 years, it's been 10 years. Don't give up. God has a plan and God has a time. Are you hearing me? Don't give up. I wonder how many times we give up right before things are about to happen. Let's not be those kind of people. So we see in the parable that if we ask, we receive. We seek, we find, we knock, the door is open. But not only that, if you look in the last section of the passage, we get one more encouraging thing. Listen, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? You see, if you're going to pray like a child, you not only have to know your Father, you not only have to be persistent, but you have to be confident in your Father. If you're not confident in your Father, the second you ask for something and it doesn't happen, you'll give up. You'll stop praying. Look in the way he describes it here in these verses. Thank you. Pray like a child, you have to be confident. Look at the way he describes it in these verses. Which one of you who asks for a fish, he says, son, ask for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? What's the point? What's the point of the story? We all get it. It's almost comical, right? Can you imagine this kid asking for a piece of fish and there comes a snake. And this is the mentality you're supposed to have. But how many times when we pray, does God actually give us exactly what we pray for? How many times does that happen to you? Exactly. I mean, like, you say, God, I want you to change my husband or my wife. How many times did that exactly happen the way you asked? You see, you're praying and what you think you're asking for is a fish. And God says, you know what you're asking for? You're asking for something, but I have something better. Let me give it to you. I'm going to help you change and them change. And so our good Father, if we have this confidence in Him, then whatever happens, you see, whatever I pray for, no matter how it is that I receive it, I understand He's giving me fish. He's giving me eggs. He's giving me bread. He's not giving me stones. And it changes our prayer life because one of the things that keeps us from praying is that when God doesn't do exactly what I ask Him to do, I stop asking. I get discouraged. Do you not? Or am I the only one? You get discouraged. And so having confidence in God changes the discouragement. And all of a sudden, all of the scorpions and serpents, we begin to realize, no, He's actually giving me the best thing for me. The real thing. The thing I needed. The thing that's good for me. And I don't know about you, this is tremendously encouraging to me. That no matter what I ask to God, He actually knows what the best thing is for me. What the thing is that I need. So a rich prayer life is not only found in seeing God the right way. We're not doing business. This is a family. It's not only based in being persistent, but it's also clearly based in believing God has the best for you. You understand? We live in an age that in many ways, all it can focus on is the physical. How many of you, when you're sick, the first thing you do is ask God to heal you? You know what begins to happen to you? If you begin to say, I know how to fix my problems. Right? Tylenol. Paracetamol, right? But what if we got to the point where everything we dealt with became something that pushed us to God, not away from God? Instead of running to whatever thing I think will fix it, what if I just first said, I'm going to run to you because you're a good father, because you don't just give scorpions. And sure, take paracetamol. Don't hear me wrong. If you have a headache, please feel free to do that. I'm not telling you not to do that. But let's make God the first thing we run to because we're confident in Him. Are you with me on that? It's hard. We live in an age that is cynical. You know what cynical means? Jaded. Tell somebody you pray. Go out on the street and tell somebody, can I pray for you? Watch the reaction you get. They think it doesn't matter. It doesn't. And that begins to infect us as Christians. It begins to eat on us. But hang in there and believe me. Follow Jesus. Pray like a child. God knows exactly what He's doing. The last part of the verse, he makes one really interesting statement. Listen to what he says. If you then who are evil. Wow, can you imagine Jesus just looking out on the crowd and saying, if you parents who I know are just evil. What does he mean? Well, I mean, he knows people give bread and they love their kids just like all people love their kids. That's not the point. The point is he's saying, compared to God, you're evil, right? Compared to the goodness of God, you're evil. And he says, if you think about evil parents, still give good things. Bad neighbors still give the gift. They give the bread when it's asked. But what about God? He's good. And so as we sang the song, the confidence in the goodness of God is the thing that leads us to trust Him in prayer. As you come into your daily life this week, I want you to try to do several things for me. And I've mentioned several of them. First, I want you to just this week, and if you already do this, great. If you don't, here's what I want you to do. Here's your to-do list this week. I want you to pray about everything without thinking first. Don't just clean your prayers up. Just pray. Some of us have what I have, which is like some sort of ADD when it comes to prayer. I don't know if you have this, right? But it's like I'll begin to pray and all of a sudden my mind, psh. Are you like this? And you're off in some, I'll begin to say, Lord, I really want you to help my family with such. Oh, I need to go get I left the bread. Do you do this? Right? Tell the truth. And so this week, your to-do list, when those things come into your mind, they try to hijack your prayer, here's what I want you to do. Pray about them. You hear what I just said? When it comes into your mind, I know this sounds really simple. Oh, yeah, really, I've got to go. I left the key. Lord, help me remember to get my keys. See, take it back over in prayer. Let your mind wander because you know what's happening. Your heart has layers, stacked up layers, and you're anxious about all kinds of stuff, and that's why it's coming in and ruining your prayers. The anxiety is taking the prayer over. Do you understand? So Jesus wants us to take the anxiety and give it to Him. Start telling Him the things that's coming into your mind. Let even the anxiety drive what you're praying about. Do you hear what I'm teaching you? And as you begin to give these things to God, they go away and you can continue to pray. It actually works. Second thing I want you to do is Start small. Some of us are not prayers, and some of us are. But if you're not a prayer in this room, please do not go out and say, I'm going to spend 3 hours on my knees in my room. That might last 3 days. But then it's going to be an hour. Then it'll be 20 minutes. Then you're going to... No, start small. God, I'm going to make sure today I dedicate 5 minutes, 10 minutes on my drive to work, as I ride in the bus, as I do this. I'm going to try and focus these 5, these 10, before I go to bed. Start small. A praying life doesn't start off. We don't start running marathons by running 26 miles, do we? So if that's you, be encouraged. You can start small. And that's okay with God. I didn't look at my one-year-old daughter when she first took steps and I'd say, sweetheart, you should have done that 2 months ago. How many of you have you seen parents do that? No, they don't do that, do they? Heard it, there's a really good book on prayer. The man talks about his daughter having autism. She learned to walk at 3, and he uses this example, and he says, you know, could you imagine, we celebrated when she walked. Because we never knew if she would or wouldn't. You know, that's what God does with you. He doesn't say, you should have been so much better at your prayer. No, he celebrates when you pray. When you grow. Do you understand? That's what it is to see God. So that is your 2 homeworks for this week. Begin to let the layers of anxiety go off by praying about every little thing. Right? And the second is just say it. Just come. Come forward, little, small time, and let it grow. But let me do say one thing that's necessary to say about this topic. Not everybody is a child of God. Do you hear what I just said? Not everybody. Because you're born on planet Earth is not how you become a child of God. Not according to the Bible. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 11 through 13 say this, and he came to his own, the Jewish people, and his own people did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, listen, who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In just a little bit, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. You know why we can pray to our Father? We can pray because Jesus gave the body and the blood. He made the way for us. And in this room, there are people here who are not children of God. I'm positive. There always are. And my encouragement to you is this. You can have this good, good Father. He's waiting. He's there. He's never absent. And the key, we turn away from our sins. We say, I'm not going to live like that anymore. I'm going to recognize you as the God of the universe. I'm going to come and learn about you. I'm going to turn to you. I'm going to turn away from that life and come to you. And by faith, saying, I believe in what Jesus did, we become children adopted by God. Isn't that beautiful? And so today, as I close us in prayer, and we think about the Lord's Supper we're about to take, remember, it was your good, good Father that adopted you, that brought you into his home, that loves you, that wants to hear every little thing you have to say to him. Father, I just come today. I come in prayer knowing that being in a Western country, prayer is a hard thing to practice. And in this room, there's so much pressure to take things into our own hands, to let the busyness of life crowd out our prayer life. And God, we give it to you. We just ask you, Father, that we would be people of prayer, that whatever view we have of our Father before, whatever things in our past we're dealing with, God, we would come to you. We would see you as our good, good Father. I pray for parents in the room today that they would be the kind of parents that seek you in front of their children, that teach their children to go to the good, good Father. I pray for children in the room as they grow and in their adolescence, Lord, and in their college years and they're learning to be independent. God, I beg you that they would not leave you behind in this. They would learn to the same way they need water and air, they need you. Let us be people who don't think our prayer lives need to be giant. Let us be people that come, if they're big, if they're small, if we're really mature, if we're really little, wherever we're at, let us grow in that. Let us give our anxieties. Let us give our problems. We thank you that we are children, that you change us, not only through what you do, but through our very prayers. I pray that we grow in those things, that we learn to persist and trust you. I pray for each and every one in this room that they could have a praying life, that they could pray like sons and daughters. In Jesus' name, amen.